What? No, no, just tell me. What I wanted to do was, I guess, do a Shiur on Hanukkah, but with Navi. Tell me the classic story of Hanukkah. How come Hanukkah is on Hanukkah, on the 25th of Kislev? Which means? And then what happened when the war was over?
They went to the Heichal and got into the oil.
Mm-hmm.
There was one untouched cotton.
Okay. Then they lit from that?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Lasted 8 days. The oil and the one.
So the menorah burnt for 8 days instead of one day?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, if that's the case, what should be the first night of Hanukkah? What would be the first... If they rested on the 25th from battle, and they went and lit the menorah, what would be the first night of Hanukkah? Don't we light the menorah in the end of the evening, like right before next night? The menorah lit for that. So the first night should be the 26th. Okay. Now, is there any other reason why Hanukkah would be called Hanukkah other than Chanukah B'chafei? If let's say they came there on the 24th, it would be Chanukhad. We'd call it Chanukhag if it was on the 23rd, and Chanukhaz if the 27th. Yeah? Does Chanukah mean something else?
It's also the rededication of the
Beis Hamikdash. And what's the word for that in Chumash?
Chanukah
Tamizbeach. So, Chanukah Tamizbeach, we even read it on Chanukah, don't we? So, Chanukah Tamizbeach. Yeah?
I read a really interesting, really cool one the other day. It was brought down by numerous that were posting the ground, other people going back. They said that Chanukah stands for Chanerot Lahalachot
Beitelah. And that's why it's called Chanukah. Okay, now, are those things cute or? And if we pass a bit time, it would be Chanubash. Okay. Now, what I want to show you quickly is that Hanukkah is actually not by chance the date, and it's a date earlier in actually the date's in Tanakh. Now, Hanukkah happened during what time period in Jewish history? First Temple, Second Temple, Third Temple. Second, remember that Second Temple? And who are the goyim then? The Greeks. The Greeks. And who are the goyim before the Greeks?
The Persians.
The Persians. And the Persians let us come back and rebuild. Yeah. And after the Greeks came the Romans. Be there. And who is before the Persians?
The
Babylonians kicked us out. Yeah, and then before them was the Assyrians. You have like a long people. It's historically people don't like us too much. Now, were there any prophets during the beginning of the Second Temple period? Yeah. Beginning by Cheney. Yeah. But when does prophecy end? When does Nevoah end? Who is the last Nevim? No, it's Malachi, but who else was in? Malachi is the last one. But who else is in? Who is? Remember Haggai and Zechariah? During the Big 12, or Little 12? So, open up the book of Haggai. That's going to be hard. Can you find the book of Haggai? Just a couple other. Let's see Tanakh. Here, get one here. Because I have most stuff on a source sheet also, but I'd rather you see it inside. Look in the book of Haggai. Haggai is the beginning of the Second Temple. Look at the first line of Haggai. And you'll see the date and the year. What year is it there? It's the second year of Dariush, isn't it? Darius is the Persian king. He's after Koresh. It's the beginning of the Second Temple. And look in Pasuk Bet. What are the people saying?
It hasn't been rebuilt yet.
Now he's saying it hasn't. He said it's not time to rebuild it. Now we're saying the people aren't stating that it's not being rebuilt. The people are saying it's not time to build it because it's not time. Mashiach's not here yet. And guess what Haggai's going to say? It is time to build it. Which means, when Haggai gives us Nevoah, which is the opening Nevoah in the second year of Dayavish, early in the Persian time period, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet. But look in Pasuk Zion, for example. What's he tell the people in Pasuk Zion? What's he telling them to do, besides pay attention to your ways?
Go build a temple.
And if you build a temple, things will get better. That's why things were bad. So the people are saying, things are so bad, God's telling us not to build. And Haggai is saying, go build and things will get better. Then he has another nevuah in Perek Bet, doesn't he? The first nevuah was in Rosh Chodesh Elo, I think. Wasn't it? Rosh Chodesh Elo, the first one? And the second nevuah is what day? Look in Perek Bet. What day is that one? 21st of what month?
Tishrei.
Is that a holiday? I think it's Hashan Rabbah last time. Is it the calendar, yeah. Isn't it? I think so, Hashan Rabbah. And he gives them another nevuah. Look, for example, Pasuk Zion in that nevuah. What does he tell them there in Perek Bet? I'm sorry. That Pasuk, in Pasuk Tet, I'm sorry. What's he promise to people in Pasuk Tet? See what he said there? That second temple that you're about to build, now he's nothing. It can be greater than the first temple. It's not there yet, but it could be. So it's, okay? And then, but they haven't started, he's still telling them to go build it. Now, look in Pasuk Yud. What's the date? The 24th of Kislev, which we would call Erev Chanukah. Right. And look in Pasuk Tedvav to see what's happening on that day. What's Pasuk Tedvav about? What's happening on that day? They're about to put stone on, they're about to break ground on the second temple. And look at Pasuk Yitret, in case I want to mention that day again. What's happening on the 24th of Kislev? They're about to start, they're laying the foundations of the second temple. And look in Pasuk Chaf. Also the same date, isn't it? It gives another nevuah of hope. In other words, the 24th of Kislev is the day right before they start breaking ground in the second temple. Either the day of breaking ground or the day before breaking ground. And on that day, Haggai gives a very powerful nevuah about what the second temple can be. Got the idea? Now, that could be totally coincidental. Or it could be, this. Remember, this is before Hanukkah happened. This is still the Persian time period, before the Greeks. It's about 200 years before Hanukkah. But we see from the very beginning of Beit Sheni, before it's built even, the day that they break ground on the second temple is going to be, Beit Sheni is going to be Erev Hanukkah. Which means Hanukkah would be the 25th. That would be nice. Start lighting candles. No.
The day's important though.
No. It could be they're breaking around the next day, but this is in preparation for that because it's mitarim sumevanah. Then, now, Haggai promises a lot of things. He promises return to sovereignty, return to prosperity. He has big hopes, and that this temple will be great, even though it really wasn't so great in the beginning. And there's, when is the best time of Beit Sheni? When do things never get better? When is it as good as it gets in Beit Sheni? Right? In the beginning, did they return to sovereignty under the Persians? No. Okay. And the Greeks take over and it doesn't get much better? When's the first time we get back to sovereignty, we become a real nation?
After
who beats the Greeks? Right. And what I want to show you is it could very well be that the reason why Hanukkah is on Hanukkah is because the Hashmonaim decided on purpose to make a big deal about the Nevuah of Haggai and Zechariah. Understand my point? In other words, it's not by chance Chanukah Chafei, but rather Hanukkah was an important date from the very beginning of Beit Sheni. And the Hashmonaim making the big celebration on Hanukkah was coming to say that we're fulfilling the devot of Haggai and Zechariah. Okay? No. You've heard of Zechariah? Yeah. Do we read something from him on Hanukkah? Remember the Haftorah on Hanukkah? Reniv Simchi Bat Zion? He sees a menorah. Remember that vision? But it's not because he sees a menorah we're going to see that message of Zechariah, which is the contemporary of Haggai, will be important. So what we're going to do now, that was just the introduction, now we'll get to work. What I want to show you is that to understand Hanukkah in depth, you have to realize that Hanukkah was an important time from the beginning of Beit Sheni, It was a holiday of, we'll call it Holiday of Hope. And we have to see how it turned from a military, from a holiday of like, you know, it has been a holiday of, you know, putting all these military victories. How did the whole focus of the holiday go from Al HaNisim to lighting candles? Because when we think of Hanukkah, we think of Hanukkah, the menorah, and lighting candles, and all the halakha come with it, which is right on the mark. But it didn't start that way. It started as a rah-rah, right-wing, Yom Yerushalayim type of holiday. You know? We took over the old city, and we beat the Greeks, and we have a cool Israeli flag. And why Chazal put all emphasis on Mitzvah Hashem, and we have to come and see. Alrighty? So now we're going to get to work. So, I'm going to give you a source sheet because it'll make life a lot easier. It's a big, nice, big letters. Here, take these. The title was cute. The title was for an American-speaking group. I don't understand the title even. Anyone understand the title? What's the title there? What's it called? The Prophet of Stole Hanukkah? What's so funny? What movie is it? You know that movie? What's it called? Who's heard of that movie? Oh, I think you guys are contaminated. It's terrible. Okay, so you came here to become purified. No. Did you notice growing up that those two holidays come out the same time of year? I want to show you it's not by chance. It's probably not by chance. That's really neat. But we'll use Chazal to prove it. Now, what we need to do first is like this. What I want to do first is I want to understand what I call the prophetic setting of Beit Sheni. Meaning, what's happening in Jewish history in the beginning of Beit Sheni? Now, from the time of Yeshua, when we conquered the land, what's the center of the Jewish... Where are the Jewish people living from the time of Yeshua onward? In the land of Israel. But there is no Jews in the diaspora, is there? There's no diaspora Jewry during Beit Rishon. If you're not living in Israel, you're... There's no Teaneck in Bergen County. There's no... Yeah. There was no diaspora. If you lived in Israel, you were Jewish. You left Israel, that's it. They're still in Israel. They're part of greater. They're greater Israel. They're on the other side of the Jordan, but they're living. It's all one continuum. Like today, like the Golan today. It's on the other side of the Jordan River, but it's still part of Israel. Or like Eilat. It's all one big. It's all connected. So every Yardin, but we're one big country. Until the end of Beit Rishon, and what happens? The 10 tribes go into exile, and Yehuda goes into exile, the temple is destroyed, and there's no one left. Now, if you were living back then, what would you think? If you were part of the exile, and you were exiled, and your temple is destroyed, your city is destroyed, and you're in exile, what would you think about your connection to God? Now, hello? Kaput, right? It's over. Now, you have prophets like Yechezkel talks about dry bones coming back to life. You understand what message he's giving? Because what are the people saying? The people are saying, the people are saying we're dry bones. And what's Yechezkel saying? You're right, you're dry bones, but even though you think dry bones can never come back to life, dry bones can't. You've heard that before? Dry bones. That's his whole point. The people have given up hope. And the job of the Naveen is to give them hope. But decades pass by in exile and we don't come back. I mean, the Babylonians don't let us come back. And there's nothing to come back to either. And other people are living here. There's the Babylonians have a big battle with the Persians, remember? And the Persians, they take over the Babylonians. And who's the first big Persian king? You've heard of Koresh? What's his last name? The Great. Okay. Like Alexander and Darius. So, this is from the Great family. It's a great fort. Okay. Now, you've heard of Cyrus the Great? Yeah, he's the first Persian king. And what's he let the Jews do? To return and build God's house, which is a big event. Now, there's going to be a call, there's going to be a movement to return and rebuild Israel, and which isn't answered, so, you know, but some people come. And what I want to show you is how Hanukkah relates to that return and what happens. So we're going to begin with the book of Ezra. Got it? If you want to follow in the book of Ezra, I'd prefer, but if you want to use the source sheet, the source sheet's like has everything highlighted. So who's going to read? Who's my reader? Reader. You want to read? Take it away. Just tell me what cities you guys are from. You're from? You know a guy named Kay? Or something Kay, who made Aliyah to Ranana? something K, K-A-Y-E. We used to live in West Orange. I don't know. He's I just gave a shir that he spoke at. It's a memory of his mother. Okay. He said he was from West Orange. He made Aliyah about 5 years ago. Okay. Never mind. And who else is from Bergen County? Anybody? No Tinek people? So where are you guys from? What? So you're from out of town. How far out of town?
2 hours.
Which one? Allentown, that's cool. Yeah, sorry to hear that. Yeah. And you're from?
Brookline.
Oh, Boston, okay. That's normal.
Sharon, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. It's not Brookline, but it's close by. Yeah. And you're? Oh, yeah, you're from? You're from? Skokie or? Yeah, Russian, okay. And?
Columbus.
CTA. And?
New York.
That's. Anything left? Side? Not too bad. It's not so bad. But yeah, what's your family name?
I do
know. The Glatz live there, right? Glatz and okay. But the shul back, is it functioning again? The shul?
Not the main shul.
They're dumping somewhere else. That's right. The shul got wiped out. They told me the whole neighborhood got really pretty bad. Yeah. Alrighty. Okay. So let's go to the Book of Ezra. Read West Orange. Yeah. Okay. There's more pasuk bet. Komar.
Komar kosh melach paras komar chal ba melach paret. Metan mi adonai lehei kashamayim. Du bakad alai. Livnot lo bayit. Birushalayim asher
bivita. Okay. What's Korosh saying? He thanks God for the victory. And he says, you know what? Now that I'm king, I'm going to change Babylonian policy. And I'm going to let the Jews go back and rebuild the temple. I'm not giving them sovereignty, but I'm giving them religious autonomy. They can go back there to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple to God, and they should thank me. Now, but he's very realistic about Jewish, and look how amazing this was that this was written 3,000 years ago. Pasuk Dalet. B'chol
Nishar.
If you don't make Aliyah, what do you need to do? Send money. Is that awesome? Did that happen like 3,000 years ago? Something happened more recently like that? Is that neat? That some people make Aliyah and everyone else has to feel guilty and send money? That's neat. So anyway, there's a lot of history we're skipping. But a group of people come, not that many, but you know, they're listed in Perek Bet. They come to Jerusalem and under Koresh with the permission to build the temple. They start to work on the temple, and guess what happens? The first intifada. Yeah, that's in Perek Dalet, the story is. And just read the beginning of Perek Dalet. Like Shul. All these remember, the people that have been there since the exile, they've been there for decades, these goyim. And now these Jews come back, say, we want to build a temple, and they say, you know, they get into a big fight. You know, it's not your city anymore. We're now the palace. You know, you're not, you don't have rights to this place. And they started an intifada. And even though the Jews had the right to build, the local population doesn't let them. They send lot more. See, skip to Pasuk Dalet. That's not the stupid people, but that's the people of the land that aren't Jewish. Rapi means they weaken them and they scare them from building. The Sacharim. Do you understand what happened? This group of people, a couple thousand people, maybe 10,000-20,000 people, come back with the Cyrus decree. We're gonna rebuild Jerusalem, the temple, all rah rah rah, all excited. Nefesh benach. Ooh, we're gonna, and they come, and guess what happens? And you know, everyone's on a one-way ticket, and it all fizzles out because they don't build the temple. Because it's not like they're being promised. The local population doesn't let them. There's a building freeze. And they're not in control, and they start writing letters back and forth, but it doesn't help. And for the next 20 years, nothing gets off the ground. That's much later. We didn't get there yet. We're still, remember, who built, you know, built the first temple? Who rebuilt it? I mean, the second temple? No, that's rebuilt it later on. Who was the first one to build the second temple?
Ezra.
No. It's in the book of Ezra. Everyone makes a mistake. It's the book of Ezra, but Ezra doesn't build it. Yeah, Cades, Bavel. Zerubbabel is the leader who built it. It says so. That's the only source. There's no source for anybody else. And it's explicit that Zerubbabel builds it. It's the story about Zerubbabel building it is in the book of Ezra. But it's not Ezra himself. Ezra comes later. When Ezra comes, he finds intermarriage. So he's got different problems to deal with. And Nehemiah finds a city in check. Nehemiah rebuilds the city walls because it's falling apart. But that's later on. How much later is an argument, but it's later. The beginning of Beit Sheni is Zerubbabel. It's the political leader. He's a descendant of Malchut Beit David. Yahshua is the Kohen Gadol. And the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Now, it's 20 years later. There's a new administration in Persia. Who's the new king? Darius. Same last name. The Great. Different family. And he's going to go and reinstate Koresh's policy. And now the Jews have an opportunity. You know what? Now there's a new administration. Maybe we can stop the building freeze and get our country back on its feet. And therefore, in the second year of Dayavish, which is early in his reign, there's a Nevi named Haggai who tells the people what? You're saying God doesn't want us back. You're saying this isn't time to build a house for God. You're saying this isn't Rishit Smichat Golatenu. And the Navi is saying, yes, it is. And you're saying things are bad because God doesn't want us here. He's saying God wants you here, but he wants you to build the temple. Build the temple and things will get better. Understand Haggai? You understand the historical background we had to get to appreciate Haggai? Now, in light of this, let's see the beginning of Haggai now. Go Haggai to Rosh Aleph. It's year 2 of Dayavish. We talked about that. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul. See that? Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he's giving the message to Zerubbabel, who's the political leader, and Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. Okay, read again, Pasuk Bet. That's what the people are saying, right? And he's saying, no, go out and go build a house for God. And he gives them Chizuk. Now, we'll go back to Zechariah in a minute. Remember, at the same time period, the same second year of Dayavish, Zechariah is saying, which is after for Hanukkah. The Shekhinah didn't come back yet, but what's Zechariah saying? It can come back. You've got to make it happen. Now, let's go now to Perek Bet in Zechariah. Next page. Zechariah Perek Bet. What's the date now? We saw this before. This is... What's the date now? On the 21st of Tishrei, which is a month and a half later, after Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rav Rav speech. Now it's another Rav Rav speech on Hoshana Rabbah. What's he tell them? The people need... read Pasuk Gimel now. Yeah, right there. On the source sheet. On the top. It's Aleph and then Gimel on the same line. Start from Aleph, fine. B'Shvi B'Sim. See Haggai? Haggai chapter 2. Source D. Got it? Shoshana Rabbah. Anyone who's around, any old timers around 7 years back, who remembers the first temple, how big it was, how great it was, and you see what we're trying to build now, what's he say? This is a joke. It's not serious. They had this big, giant like mansion, and now it's a little shack. What? That's what they say. The original plan was nothing. Was a joke. And therefore, the people were saying, be serious. This is a temple. Leave me alone. You call this a Jewish... This is nothing. And that's why the people are saying it's time to build. They're reluctant. And they're getting this little like shtibble together. And say, oh, it's going to be the great synagogue. That's a shtibble. It's nothing. Therefore, what do they need? They need what's called chizik. Look at Pasuk Dalet. Look how much... Who needs chizik? Bata? Chazak Zerubbabel. Got it? It's one chazak. That's the... Kohen. What's it mean, Ani Yitchem Neum Hashem? What do the people think? God's not with us. What's the Navi saying? God's not with you, but you got to do something. Off your, get out of the base matters and start chopping down trees. Understand? Time to work. Now, if you go in the original, he says, after this chizuk, he says, go start cutting down trees again and get building, and God will be with you. Things will be a big upheaval. And then skip now to Pasuk Tet. What's he promise? Gadol? He's saying, this second temple that we're working on now, we haven't started it yet, but things can be great. That was Hoshana Rabbah. There's a building committee, and there's a shul committee, you follow? and someone raises funds, and we get a carpenter, and we get an architect. You follow? We have a big fight. We have Jewish workers, Goyish workers. Yeah, we have a fight. We have, you know, what should be, how big to make it. You understand? Whose name are you going to have plaques? Not going to have plaques. You follow? But 2 months later, we're ready finally to break ground. And what did they break ground on this temple? 2 months later on Hanukkah. Now, if you know this time of year, is this good weather for building or bad weather for building?
Bad.
Why? Does it rain this time of year? No. It's cold. We see it like today. And we're going to see, it's going to take 4 years to build it. Now, if you're not really ready to build, why would you make a groundbreaking ceremony? Think Jewish and logical. If I make a ceremony, hey, people are going to come. And here's what I want to suggest. They're making a groundbreaking ceremony, but he's picking a special time of the year to break ground. Because what's the next Nevuah? On the 24th of Kislev, he's going to give this big power for Nevuah that things are going to get better one day. What? And now look, if you look in Chagai, that's going to be for Pasuk Yud. I just highlighted the date that we read before, the 24th of Kislev, the day before this, the day before stone on top of stone, and you know, this day that Eichal is being built. Now, his message is, if you read it inside, you can see it. He says, last year, your economy was rock bottom. Nothing grew. The produce, the land wasn't giving its fruit. And he said, that's because you didn't build the temple. Build the Beit HaMikdash, and you'll see that your economy is going to start growing, and produce will start growing again, and you'll have this economic recovery. And then the Pasuk Chav, he talks about political recovery. And look what he thinks is going to happen. Read from Pasuk Chav. Chav to the Chabet. There's going to be a big political upheaval, overturning cherries, big kings' kingdoms are going to fall, armies are going to fall. You follow? And when it's over, Zerubbabel is going to become like the Chotam of God. He's going to be, he'll sovereignty will return to Yehuda. You understand? That's the end of Haggai. What's Haggai's message? It's good old Kippah Sruga message. You know what? That this is redemption, or this is Reshit Mechat Golotenu, and we're going to become a nation again with a good economy. We're going to return to sovereignty. And it all depends what's going to get the ball rolling. Get to work on the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the question is going to be, why pick this time of year to give this message? Now, this time of year is special. Let me explain why. To do that, we're going to read a little Gemara in the Masechet Avodah Zarah about this time of year. It's on the next source sheet. It's on the back side. On the back side, on the bottom left. You've heard of, why would there be a Masechet called Avodah Zarah? That's crazy. Why would there be a Masechet called Avodah Zarah? Why do we need to learn about idol worship? It's also, isn't it? So the first mission of Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to make a business deal with Goyim on their holidays. Let's say you're going to do an acquisition or do something with an idol worshipping partner. So don't make a deal with them on their holiday. Why? Because they'll thank their gods. Hey, the gods are with me. And therefore, on Goyish holidays, you can't make business deals with Goyim. Now, to fulfill that law, what do you need to know? You need to know the Goyish holidays. Is that neat? So the next mission in Parakhet and Dachet tells you, these are the Goyish holidays. And we get a whole list of them. Two of these ones is a whole long list. Two of the holidays, one's going to be called Saturna, and one's going to be called Kalanda. Heard of these holidays before? But there's two holidays. One's called Saturna. If you know your history, Saturnalia is a big Roman holiday. Very famous one. And Kalanda, like the word calendar, comes from there. And the Gemara is going to give the story about how these holidays came about. Understand it? See the Mishnah? These are the holidays of the Kachovim. Rav Hanan says, Kalanda is 8 days before the Tekufa, and Saturn is 8 days after the Tekufa. What's a Tekufa? You would call it the solstice. You know what a solstice is? It's the longest day or shortest day of the year. So he's referring to the winter solstice. Means that Saturna is 8 days, Kalanda is 8 days after the winter solstice starts. Like from December 22nd to whatever, to January 1st. And 8 days before December 21st would be Saturna. Got that? No. How are these holidays coming back? Have it? See, Torah Rabbanan? You have it? L'fi shir Adam HaRishon Yom Shivit Mait B'Holech.
Amar oily, Shema Bishwal Shistarachti Olam Khashukh Badi Bechose Tovavo. Adam Arishon was born in what month? Ayamarat Olam Ayom Bani. But when was in Tishrei. And the next month after Tishrei is going to be Heshvan. And his father-in-law got him a really nice watch. And they got married. And he was noticing every day. I'm joking. He was noticing what's happening every day, every week or so. I just finished Shacharis and it's time to have Mincha. Like the days are getting so short. He's getting getting all confused. And he's no dummy. And once he realized, if this continues this progression, what's going to happen? In what land? It's going to be all dark. And no darkness means no light. All darkness means no light. And no light, that was the first thing created, i.e. or, which means we go back to Tohu Vavohu, which means maybe that's what God meant when he said, you're going to die. And see what he says there? Got it? Ah, but he's still a Yorei Shemaim. So what's he do? He davens. Amad v'yashav chet yamin b'tanit b'tfilah. He fasted for 8 days and davened. Kibon shor tkvat tevet. After the end of those 8 days of fasting, he looks at his watch, and hey, the days are getting longer. Amazing. Amar min hagas shor olam hu. Lach v'sa shmonim tevet. Ah, he says, this seems to be nature. Got it? And he made an 8 day holiday. The next year, he made them both holidays. So he started his family minhag of celebrating the winter solstice. Got it? To thank God for nature. And his grandchildren and great-grandchildren turned it into a Goisha holiday. Some sun god, night god, winter god, whatever it is. And turned into a, we'll see, they turned into a big drinking, getting drunk holiday, which you guys call New Year's. New Year's begins, this is the New Year's holiday. It's an old thing, it's a, if you look in here, look in, you're not supposed to see these sources, but look in M, go back a page, you see source M. See M, A, see M, which says, it's from a website. Come up later. See where it says Roman pagans? Roman pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week of lawlessness. It's like our Purim, celebrated between December 7th and 25th, during which Roman courts were closed, no one could be punished for damaging property. Okay? He says it was human sacrifice, there was widespread intoxication, okay? There was carol going singing, and other things I won't mention. You follow? And what happened was, that this was, you know, the darkest time of the year was a big pagan holiday. What do you do? What did Goyim do on New Year's? On their Goyish New Year's? They get drunk. Celebrate. Go wild, parties. Because that's what you do when things are down. What do Jews do? You light candles. You understand what I'm getting at? To us, now let me explain why this time of year is important. The situation that Am Yisrael is in at the time of Haggai and Zechariah is one of depression, darkness, isn't it? From a national point of view, after making Aliyah and being restricted for 20 years and nothing happening, the people are down and depressed. Imagine the hopes they have, and look how bad things are. You can't make a living. Right? There's nothing in the horizon. And we bought these one-way tickets and we're stuck here. We wish we could go back and bother. And along comes this rabbi and tells him, even though things are so dark, there's hope. Now, will it be a great time of year to give a message, no matter how dark things are, there's hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Take the darkest time of the year, and what's about to happen? Things are going to start getting... Take the winter solstice and make it a meaningful time. Pretend you're an NCSY and have to give a Havdalah kind of thing. So the meaning of light in times of... it's giving hope in times of darkness. Isn't that a classic message? No. The problem is, where do you find the winter solstice on a Jewish calendar? Our calendar is lunar, isn't it? So how can you find the winter solstice on a lunar calendar? That's almost impossible, isn't it? But our calendar isn't only lunar. What else is it? Solar. In what way is it solar? Designed by?
Sukkot and Pesach.
How many months in a year in a Jewish calendar? How come there's 12 months? Because that's how many months there are in a year. But if a year was 30 times 12, was 356, something like that, 54 days, it would be nice. The problem is the year is 11 days longer. And therefore, every once in a while, I'm going to get to month 13, and it won't be spring. In other words, the first month has to be spring. That's the first, remember Rosh Chodeshim? The first month of our calendar, month number one, Chodesh Nisan, has to be in the spring. Has to be with this being equinox.
What do we do if 12 months pass and it's not spring yet? Yeah, who decides? Everybody decides. Because they know their astronomy. And therefore, our first month is always in the spring.
Which means, if the first month is always in the spring, and what month is the winter solstice going to be?
Winter.
And 7 months later is going to be the fall equinox. And two and a half months later is going to be the winter solstice. So it's either going to be the 9th month or the 10th month.
I'll never know for sure exactly, because it'll be somewhere in between, depending on... Because they're out of sync, they're still in the lunar calendar. But either the 9th or 10th lunar month.
Now, the nights are dark because the nights are long. But what else, what can give you light, even when nights are long? What can give you light at night?
The moon.
The moon, doesn't it? Now, is the moon out all night long?
No.
You know how the moon works? You know, moonrise, sunrise, and things like that? Moonrise, sunset? You know the moon changes size every day? You notice that? No. When in the month is it getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
No.
From when to when does it get bigger and bigger and bigger? From this first till the 15th. And then it starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But it comes out at different times of the night. Now, when the moon's getting bigger and bigger in the beginning of the month, when during the night does it come out? You never notice this? You never notice that Rosh Hashanah either. You need a class in astronomy. But the moon rises in the beginning of the month at sunset. I mean, the moon rises. The moon is like 45 minutes behind the sun. The sun sets and you see the new moon. You've ever seen a new moon before? Where in the sky is the new moon? It's setting right behind the sun. You need class in astronomy. You don't know astronomy? My gosh. Even Avraham Avinu studied, didn't he? It's like simple. You notice the moon's in different parts of the sky all night long, and it changes from day to day? The first half of the month, the moon is out at night. In the beginning of the night, the moon's out, and it gets bigger and bigger. By the 15th, it's out all night long. Okay. By the third week of the month, the moon's getting smaller and smaller, and even the small moon that comes out doesn't come out until after midnight. Okay, take my word for it, you'll check it out. Oh my gosh, you guys don't know astronomy. I'll go to school anymore. Which means, what is the darkest week of the month, of the lunar month? The fourth week, when the moon's getting smaller and smaller, and it only comes out at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning. So for all intents and purposes, the last week of the lunar month is the darkest time of the month. Now, if I want to find the darkest time of the Jewish year, when's that going to be? When the nights are longest, and there's no moon. So what month is that going to be? It could be the 9th or the 10th. But it needs to be the last week of the month. So what's the best month to have it? The last week of the 9th month. And if I want the 8 darkest days of the year, what are they? From the 25th of Kislev until the day after Rosh Chodesh, to the 2nd day of the month, which is Gachli Chanukah. Now, and that's Adam HaRishon. If I want Adam HaRishon's 8 days on the Jewish calendar, it's the last week of Chanukah. It's last week. But the nights are getting darker and darker and darker. Now, what do we do? What's Chagai saying? Chagai's saying, you're in a time of darkness, but things can't get better. That's his message. He's giving a message of hope. And therefore, he picks the day on purpose. You understand what I'm getting at? He's picking the darkest week of the year. Right? The darkest week of the year. The month. To say, there's hope for the Jewish people. Yeah.
Was there a nevuah, or is it just his own calculation?
It says it's his... God gives them the nevuah on this day, but this is the day they chose for dedicating the temple. Maybe God told them to pick that day, but God gives them the nevuah on the... But they're dedicating the temple because it's a meaningful time of year. Understand? Now, the rest I'll do fast now. As I mentioned, they get the temple built. It takes 4 years, but not much comes of it. By the time Ezra comes, this intermarriage, things go from bad to worse. It's only about 200 years later, the Persians fall, the Greeks take over, that all of a sudden this Hasmonean revolt starts, you know the whole story, and the Maccabees win. And we return to sovereignty, and we return to prosperity, and we become a big nation again. What do the Hasmonean think? You know what? This is the fulfillment of Haggai's Nebuah. And therefore, when they take over the temple, you've heard of Megillat Tanit? Hanukkah was part of one of the holidays, Megillat. Megillat Tanit are all the national holidays of the Second Temple period, where you don't say Tachnun, you don't say you can't do Hesped, you can't fast.
And all those dates were nullified with the Korban, except for Hanukkah and Purim. I'm sure you've heard Megillat Tanit. But in Megillat Tanit, you also have the 23rd of Cheshvan, which is the day that we took over Har Abayit from the Yevanim, a month before Hanukkah. The 3rd of Kislev, we did something else on Har Abayit. We got rid of some all this Greek stuff there. You know, from our Jewish sources, we took over Har Abayit a month beforehand. And in Sefer Makkavim, it talks about, that I have here in English, that when they came and cleaned up the Beit HaMikdash, it took weeks to get everything rebuilt. Because they had to make a new Mizbeach. The old one was puzzle. They had to make a new menorah, a new shulchan, everything new, new walls, everything. And it took a month. And they purposely dedicated it on the 25th of Kislev. In fact, you'll see the Mityavnim purposely defiled it on the 25th of Kislev 3 years beforehand. It's Sefer Makkavim. It's really neat. Which means that date was important. As they defiled, that date was the date of Bait, that was the day of hope of Bait Sheni. Got it? Now, also in Sefer Makkavim, they don't mention Yisbach Hashem and don't make a big deal about it, for sure. But they make a big deal about the military victory and the 9th day celebration. Because if you have a new Mizbeach and you're rebuilding the temple, and it's like something brand new, how many days should we celebrate based on the Chumash parallel? Remember? Yom HaShemini? 7 days of Miluim and Yom HaShemini is a big deal. Making Chanukah HaMizbeach, like you did with the Nisim. Therefore, it makes sense to have an 8-day holiday, even without the miracle. And from the time of the Hashmonaim, who see themselves, as Rashi brings down, that they fulfill the Nevot of Haggai, Hanukkah is a big national holiday. Now the big question comes up. What do we do after the Korban? You understand my question? In other words, after the Beis HaMikdash, do we continue to keep Hanukkah? Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we keep Hanukkah after the Korban? There's no temple, right? Why should we? Because there is hope. Now, what's going to be our symbol of hope? That's going to be the Yisbach Hashem, especially for 8 days in Minik Beit Shammai Beit Tillah. Now, I want to reread the Gemara about Yisbach Hashem, and you have to read it carefully. That's on the back page. See it on the top left, on the back page. What you guys told me was a little bit you weren't being medayik in the Gemara. The Gemara first brings down. See what says my Chanukah. That's Megillat Tanit. And then we quote from Megillat Tanit. What happened? You know this, don't you? Now, look carefully. What's that mean? There was enough oil in the pach to light the menorah for how long? For one day. Naseh bones. Bo means not in the menorah, but in the pach. V'idliku mimeno shmoneh yamim. Is there a mitzvah for the menorah to be lit all day long? You ever read Chumash? Parsha Balotcha? No. To me, that's on the big mitzvah. On the menorah, me'erev ad boker. Remember? Is it the only one of me'erev ad boker? It says so in Parsha Balotcha. You light it in the evening, and it burns all night long. In the morning, the kohen extinguishes anything that's still burning, cleans it out, sets it up, and lights it the next night again. The menorah is only lit at night, and it's a mitzvah to light it, not for it to be lit. Understand what I mean? And if it's still lighting in the day, you're supposed to extinguish it and clean it up. Where was the miracle? The miracle was in the pach. It says so, doesn't it? But I said bones, not banes. The miracle was in the pach, and they kept on like your medicine bottle when you were a little kid. It never ended. Maybe you still taste it good. Is that an old miracle or a new miracle? You don't know your Tanakh, do you? Who had the same miracle? At least remember there was that Amana. Husband was a rabbi. He died, killed by Zedo. 2 kids, can't pay her debts. They're coming to take her kids away. She cries to the rabbi, help me, right? And what's Elise asked, what do you have at home? He says, I got nothing but what? A little pach shemen. And what's he tell her to do? Go borrow kelim and fill it up and pay off your debts. Isn't this the plight of the isha, of that isha from the Benivim, the same as Am Yisrael at the time? No hope, nothing. And that little from that little pach Hashem, we have hope. Now, Zechari, you guys have your tachim. Open up Zechari as well. Zechari Perek Dalet. Daf Torah for Hanukkah. Zechari Perek Dalet. Remember, it's after Rani Yisrael Kibat Zion. Zechari talks about the Shekhinah returning. He has a vision of a menorah. And the menorah has 7 branches. And 2 zeitim on top of it. It's a symbol of the state of Israel today. You're aware of that? No? Look in Pasuk. Actually, it's on the source sheet also. It's right after. Go back to the. After it's the source F. Yes. What do you see? I see this menorah. Now it's not just he sees a menorah. Listen to the message that Zechariah is giving. Now you understand Hanukkah, and why that's after Torah. See Pasuk Vav. Vayan v'emer Eli v'emer Mazda Varsha Zed Varsha Mazur Bavel Demor. Lo b'chayav v'lo b'kuach kim bruchi amar shem tzvot. What's chayav mean? Chayav means it's abundance of prosperity, economic prosperity. Chayav means prosperity. Koach is political power or sovereignty. Who talked about chayav and koach? What Navi talked about the return of chayav and koach? That was Chagai, wasn't it? And the people, he's telling the people, return and build your temple, and you'll have chayav back, you'll have economic prosperity back, you'll have political sovereignty. I told you, Mr. Kippah Surga. Okay? Along comes Chari and says, that's very nice, but there has to be Ruach. And what's he saying? What's God's message to Zerubbabel, who is the king-elect? He's a governor, but he's hoping to become king. Zerubbabel was saying, you will become. Chagai was saying, one day he'll get sovereignty. He says, the goal is not to have sovereignty. And the goal is not to have prosperity. The goal is what you do with it. It's not only about Chayav and Koach. The message is Ruach. And that's the main message of, that's the eternal message of Hanukkah. Because the goal of returning to sovereignty and having a state again, and having a people again, and an army, and an economy, is not to be rich and wealthy and strong, but to enable you to be God's people, to act the proper way, to be a model for other nations. And what Zechariah has to remind the political leaders and Am Yisrael is that God's promising you economic recovery and return a national sovereignty again, a nationalism. But the goal is not, that's not the goal. That becomes a means to be a nation full of Ruach, of doing tzedek u'mishpat and being God's people and keeping Torah mitzvot properly. Not just between God and between building the society that makes God look good. Now, did the Hashmonaim fulfill that message of Zechariah? Maybe for a generation or two, but by third generation, they were corrupt like all the other bums. What did Chazal say? The Kohanim took what? They took not only the Kuna Gdullah, they also took the kingdom. They didn't divide up the powers. And power got to their head. Whose message didn't they internalize? Zechariah's. And therefore, when the rabbis are asking, if I'm going to make Hanukkah a celebration, and I need a sign from God, was this military victory, was it Hashkacha Pratit or not? What sign did God give them? That's the Marsha. I have a Marsha. Look in the Marsha, Masechet Shabbat, in the Suga. The Marsha says that, he says, it's not, the reason for Hanukkah is not the miracle. That should be clear. Read Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim doesn't mention this. Al HaNisim is the same source as Sefer Maccabim. Al HaNisim is saying that the reason for Hanukkah is a military victory. Even if there wasn't a miracle with Masechet, we'd celebrate it. And according to Sefer Maccabim, it's an 8-day celebration like the Mishkan. But Marshall explains, what's the reason why Chazal said there's an eternal message here? What's aside from God, because behind these events and their victory? He gives the miracle. Now, who knew about the miracle? A couple of Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash? If the Nespach Hashem is the way Gemara describes it, who would know about that? That's not a miracle everybody sees or knows. Who would know about it? A couple of Kohanim. Do they tell other people? You follow? Can be a lot of use. If you don't have enough shemen, you can use
right.
Shemen tamei. Yeah. But rumor goes around there was a miracle with the menorah. What does that mean to Chachamim? It's a sign from God that he's behind these events. But it's a sign from God. In other words, if they're thinking they're fulfilling Chagai, what's God reminding them of? You're right, this is Chagai, but it also has to be, you have to fill Zechariah. And that's what Haftar is. That's Haftar for Hanukkah. Now, it ends up that they didn't listen to Zechariah, did they? And the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Hasmonean family fell apart. And then the question, do we continue celebrating this Hasmonean holiday? So I can't celebrate it for its nationalism, because that's all gone. But I need to celebrate it, because maybe one day we'll get it back again. But if we do, what message do we need to remember? Zechariah. And therefore, the whole focus of the holiday now turns to the menorah. You follow? And therefore, all the halachot, now, the ritual minhag was a member in Yishuv Beito. But after the Churban, there's Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Remember, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is after the Churban. And Beit Hillel has a great minhag to do what?
Isn't that Olam HaRishon? And Shammai is the other opinion. But the idea is, I'm giving light, I'm taking the darkest time of the year and giving light. Understand how meaningful that is? And we always talk about a return to coming back. Imagine thousands of years of exile. Talking about one day we'll be a nation again, one day we'll have sovereignty again, one day we'll have a strong economy again, we'll be God's people. And that's what we hope for. That's called Mashiach coming. It might happen one day. Imagine the Jews will come back and they'll have their land back and become sovereign in their land. Imagine that would happen one day. Amazing. Now, but should that happen, what we have to be thankful to God, but what message we need to remember? The message of Zechariah, isn't it? That doesn't mean I don't need it. It means I need it, but I need to use it properly. And therefore, the whole negation of the miracle of the Hanukkah turns to the menorah, and rightly so. And therefore, in Chazal, you find everything's about, and the Chazal were not happy with the Chashmonaim, were they? Therefore, the whole focus of the holiday turns to Nespach Hashem. But again, after the Qurban, that happens. Because now it's no longer a national holiday, it becomes a holiday of hope, just like it was before Hanukkah, from the time of Haggai, just like it was from the time of Adam Rishon. And therefore, the date of Hanukkah is not by chance. And what do we do in Judaism? We take the darkest time of the year. Right? And you know, remember Yaakov Avinu? He wished he could build a temple. Remember? Does he wish he could build a house for God? Yeah. It's his dream. But why can't he do it? He's running away. Because when I come back and everything's good, then you know, and what's he do to remember the spot? What's he put on it? He puts Shemen on it, doesn't he? And he calls it Beit El. That's his goal. Now, why he doesn't do it, that's, you know, his life gets a little gets problematic when he comes back. He's got white ring kids, and he's got, his wife dies, and Yosef's gone, you follow? And he can never build the Beit HaMikdash he wanted to. David HaMelech is going to do it for him later on. That's a whole story there. What? Or David gets it ready, and Shlomo builds it. But that's when we finally get things right. All the Jewish holidays, if you paid attention, are agricultural holidays giving with historical meaning and religious meaning. Pesach's that way. All the holidays are special agricultural times of the year, or times in the solar year, given the historical meaning and spiritual meaning. And Hanukkah works the same way. And that's why, and more at an adult level, again, the Nespach Hashem is not the reason for the holiday. That's a sign from God to make sure that we understand the holiday the right educational way. And therefore, in Chazal, we're going to find the whole focus on Nespach Hashem. Understand? And that's Chanukah. Yeah, you guys have to go to Mincha in a minute. But we'll stop here. Hopefully, I've shared in about another 2-3 weeks. We'll have, he wants Rabbi Waxman, we have like every couple of weeks. We'll do you'll check with him how often you guys want. But, we'll check with him, okay? Is this a decent time? 2 to 3 is okay? This time of day? Because I teach in Ranana till 1 o'clock every Tuesday, and I drive back to the Gosho. It's on my way home, so I can come. You know, if it's a good time for me, it's the only time it works out that I'm driving back Saturday. Because otherwise, it's an hour drive. It's like far to get here. But if it's a good time, I know it's a bad time of day, 2 to 3. But I think we can do go back to do some punish stuff. Already, we'll have a good mincha. Yeah. Wait back.